Today on Secul, amid crashing poll numbers and crises international, President Biden loses it yet again on another Fox News reporter.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
The great unifier, bringing calm to the world, peace on earth. You've got U.S. troops on heightened alert, 8,500. We talked about yesterday, maybe up to 50,000 being sent overseas, potentially by President Biden, to somehow be involved with this Russia-Ukraine potential conflict there. You have, of course, all of the domestic crises which are building up. Inflation, the crisis at the border, the economic concerns, just a whole host. COVID still raging, causing major disruptions in everyday life for everybody. And of course, the schools, the education, all these issues. And he was supposed to be the great unifier, the one that puts us, we're all together. And he gets a simple question yesterday. There's a press gaggle shouted out from Peter Doocy from Fox News, a question that any reporter could ask right now. It's about inflation. And he was doing an event on the economy. Take a listen to the question and then President Biden's response.
Will you take questions on inflation then?
Let's move. Thank you. Thank you.
Do you think inflation is a political liability?
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son.
You know, there you go. I mean, this guy, they complained about Trump being aggressive and abrasive. And this guy does this on a microphone. But you know what it points to? It points to a bigger issue. His sarcasm, his degrading Peter Doocy, who does a great job, by the way, for Fox News. It points to a much bigger issue. This isn't even about inflation. It's about inflation. It's about border insecurity. It's about Russia. It's about China. It's about Iran. It's about the world that under the Joe Biden method of doing all of this, guess what? It's not working. So what all of this is about is the political reality that Joe Biden now finds himself in.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is, again, I think that what you see is from President Trump, his criticism for the media, they thought it was too hostile, but it was to your face. If he thought you were fake news, he called you fake news. He didn't do it in a, my mic was still on. It wasn't done in secret. He told it like it was and how he felt. And that's very different than the third time now President Biden has been caught talking down to reporters, twice to Fox News reporters, once to Real Clear Politics reporters. But what does it really point to? To me, it points to a president who is just, it's falling apart, right? I mean, it's your domestic agenda is falling apart. I mean, the Congress, you can't get your own party together. And then the world is also appearing to fall apart. And while we focused a lot of time yesterday on Russia, Ukraine, we can't forget what's happening also potentially with Taiwan and the buildup there. So I think you put this all together and it's starting to show. That's what we're starting to see from a president who ran on civility to now he's cursing out reporters or he is talking down to reporters when he was the guy who supposedly ran against, I want to be the opposite of that. The truth is that President Trump was a lot more honest, was just told it like it, how he felt like it.
You didn't have to guess.
You weren't having to catch him on a hot mic
no.
to see how he felt. And I think that, again, these incidents show, is there really that much difference between these politicians, too? I think actually Biden is worse. This is the real Joe Biden. He's a pretty nasty guy. He's been a nasty political operator most of his life, almost all of his life. And he's attacking the media because the questions that are being asked are too realistic. They hit too close to home. We'll take your calls on it. 1-800-684-3110. Like, where is Jim Acosta? Shouldn't he be out there like having a fit right now? Maybe being checked into a hospital.
He's got
over
his own
this
little program now, so maybe he'll.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'm sure a lot of people watching that. We'll be right back on Seculo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Juxtapose this. So this was President Biden's first day in office. Literally first day this week. He took the oath. He made this comment. Take a listen, bite two.
But I'm not joking when I say this. If you're ever working with me and I hear you treat another colleague with disrespect, talk down to someone, I promise you I will fire you on the spot. On the spot. No ifs, ands, or buts. Everybody is entitled to be treated with decency and dignity. That's been missing in a big way the last 4 years.
Yeah, unless you're a reporter.
For Fox News.
For Fox News. Or any, actually, there's other outlets too. You went after Real Clear Politics. But I just want to juxtapose that, because that's basically what he ran on, is you don't like the personality of President Trump, you like my personality better. But this is how he treated, too. Another question from a different Fox News reporter. This was last week. Jackie Heinrich, take a listen. This is to a female reporter. Put into context how they would have erupted on President Trump. That's why I bring up the Jim Acostas. They needed like a safe room to go to if something like this happened. They would call him sexist. I mean, the list would go on and on. Bite 17.
Are you waiting on Putin to make the first move, sir?
So he goes, so she says, why are you waiting on Putin to make the first move? He says, what a stupid question. Now, it's not a stupid question. Why would you not potentially sanction Putin preemptively? Take preemptive steps to stop Putin instead of letting him invade before taking a step to try and prevent the invasion. And his response is, what a stupid question. That would have been everywhere, Dad. I mean, if that was Donald Trump. It's not acceptable. And first of all, the question is not stupid. It was a good question. I mean, I just go to this. The walls are falling in.
That's exactly
and
what
you know,
it is.
When you're in that White House and the walls start falling
in there.
It's very small. Your staff's also losing it in a sense.
Yep.
They feel like they're treading water because they're having to correct you every time you speak.
And you know, you got to understand, as George just said, take inside the White House. I mean, the Oval Office is a nice size office. It's not gigantic. And there's a lot of people in there usually with the president. Usually it could be up to a dozen, sometimes more. And then you've got these little offices after it. So it's a very tight space. So when the pressure is up, which it is right now, people react. And Joe Biden's reaction is to belittle the reporters because the inflation issue right now is the number one issue in the country domestically, Andy. It's number one.
It is. I don't see how families are making it going to the grocery store buying Staples and coming out with $150 and $200 bills for a family of four or five. It's an egregious and horrible thing. And the gas prices where I live are $4 a gallon, which in Georgia is very high from what it was. But what I'm saying is that these questions are fundamental questions. He asked, Ducey asked about inflation. This Jackie Heinrich asked a question about tactics and strategy.
Right.
Why aren't you making a preemptive move? Why are you waiting for Tsar Putin to make the first move? And so these may not be the most artfully stated questions, but they're stated in a fashion that gets to the average person. Why is the president of the United States belittling people on inflation and Putin and not answering the question
when
in a simple fashion?
Personal, give an
when
answer.
There is a response.
She said, does it hurt in the... Ducey's question, does the inflation situation hurt in the midterm? Here's if you're just being politically smart. Here's what you say. It's not going to be a factor in the midterms because we're getting inflation under control. That's what a president says, Harry.
I think that's correct. I think that's certainly true of a competent president. So President Biden promised both decency and competence. Instead, he has delivered indecency and incompetency. And those two aspects of his presidency are shining through loud and clear. The Biden presidency, like Humpty Dumpty, has fallen, and President Biden cannot get up. We have American troops who are massed near the Ukrainian border in Poland and other countries. Immigrants are flooding the U.S. border, with illegal immigrants up by 141% year over year. We have inflation raging out of control, COVID numbers rising after he promised to shut down the virus, even though he cannot shut down his own raging incompetence. So I think many American people are justifiably upset with the Biden presidency, and yet one of the biggest impediments to improving his presidency is Biden's own character, which is beginning to shine through loud and clear. And I think virtually every single American is now aware that there's a raging, angry person in the White House.
Wes, you have an article up actually at ACLJ.org, which we're going to talk about in the next segment, which looks back at the 1 year in office. But you wanted to address this.
Well, here's the thing. The president is coming off as being not compassionate and dismissive. Think about what these two reporters, he was dismissive and disrespectful to them. And that's sort of become his modus operandi recently, and I'm not sure why. One of the things I mentioned in the article on the website is that when last week at that disastrous news conference, when a reporter asked him about his approval rating in the Quinnipiac poll, which is a respected poll, Biden's response very glibly was, "I don't believe that poll." It came off as dismissive of the question and the reporter. And what it really comes off as, Jay, is dismissive of the concerns of the American people, people that are suffering at the gas pump and the grocery store, people that are concerned at the southern border. When the president is glib about it and makes smart comments back to a reporter, the people in America feel like they're being dismissed, too.
We got a Mike in Maine on line one. Hey, Mike, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan, Jay, everybody. Thanks for taking my call. You know, this administration and this time that we're in, it's one good thing that's coming out of it. It's a time when people like Peter Ducey can really shine. I oftentimes will watch the press briefings just to find out what question he's going to come up with next, because he will ask the questions that nobody else will ask. And it's just so entertaining to hear how they respond to him.
You know, what's interesting to me, though, as I said, is there was an answer to that question if he was just thinking through it. And if you're thinking politically, you would say, look, the inflation issue is an issue right now. I've got my economic team on it, Jordan.
It was at a meeting on economics.
I just came out of a meeting on economics. You don't think I think it's an issue? Of course it's an issue. But we're going to have inflation under control, right? We're working on a plan. The plan's going to work, and inflation will be under control way before the midterms.
But he didn't even have to answer. You know, it was a shouted-out question after press gaggle that, you know, you have either you answer it substantively because you know you're on camera, or you just ignore it. Because it wasn't a normal press conference. But let me play Chuck Todd, because, again, the pile-on is not just coming from, don't think this is just the conservative media and conservative world that we're in. I wouldn't say that the walls are closing in if it was just conservatives upset at Joe Biden. It's everyone. It's the left and mainstream media. This is Chuck Todd yesterday on NBC.
President Biden's news conference on Wednesday was designed to kick off a second year reset of his presidency, recapture his political identity, if you will. But our new NBC News poll suggests Mr. Biden does need a reset because he's lost his identity a bit. He's no longer seen as competent and effective. He's no longer seen as a good commander in chief, or perhaps most damaging, as easygoing and likable. In fact, just 5% of adults say Mr. Biden has performed better than expected as president.
So, again, that's from Chuck Todd saying that he's not seen as competent, not seen as effective, not a good commander-in-chief, not likable, not easygoing. I mean, so that's basically the only positives Joe Biden had really going into the race with President Trump was that final 2 points. More likable, easygoing, more, you know, not going to have those outbursts and all those kind of things, except for he's having the actual outburst instead of and he's pretty unpredictable these days, too. For instance, on Friday, we're talking about sanctions on Russia. On Monday, we were talking about troops going to Russia. That's not a predictable presidency.
No. The problem is that the lack of prediction is also because the lack of planning.
Yep.
And the lack of detail. And I think what you've got is, you mentioned this earlier, think of the White House as a small building with a lot of people. And I think that what's happening is they are dealing with issues in a way. I mean, the military situation, Wes, with 8,500 troops being deployed, what does that even mean?
You know, it's hard to tell because, the Biden's messaging and his reactions, worldwide to our adversaries and our allies has not been consistent. It is confusing. Our allies don't know what to believe, and our enemies, they think they have this president figured out. 8,500 troops there, perhaps it's a deterrent. However, as we talked about yesterday, if you really want to deter someone like Vladimir Putin, you go in proactively ahead of time. Jackie Heinrich asked that question last week. What do you do ahead of time to set him on his heels and say, this behavior is not acceptable? We have seen none of that, Jay, none of it.
Yeah, but, Europe, there's also a Europe. Jordan talked about this yesterday. I think he was right. Before we go running in with a zillion troops or even, 10 and 20,000 troops, Europe itself, Andy, very quickly here, is not unified on any of this.
No, and to the president, contrary to the president's statement, if I've been to the European scene, I've been there in our European office, and I can tell you I've read the European papers, and if he thinks that he's going to lead the charge and the European Union and all the European countries are going to follow in lockstep behind him, including Germany, for example,
nope.
You might as well forget that right now.
Nope, not going to happen.
Folks, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. I mean, it was hard to put the Biden presidency year one into perspective. Crisis and disaster. Crisis and disaster. Do you agree? Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you.
And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
You know, I want you to take a listen to, this is the Deputy National Security Advisor, John Finer. He's talking to CNN, this was just yesterday, on North Korea, on Putin. Just take a listen, Byte 19.
We mentioned that North Korea fired new missiles overnight. Obviously, what Vladimir Putin is doing is provocative. Why does it seem that these foreign leaders, in some cases rogue foreign leaders, are testing President Biden?
You know, John, I know there's a lot of temptation to connect these issues because these events are taking place simultaneously. The North Korea challenge has been with us for quite some time, really going back years and actually decades.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
wants to jump
I was going to go to West. This idea that it's not related is ridiculous. It's related to who the commander-in-chief is.
Of course.
It's related to our standing in the world, the fact that our commander-in-chief went on TV to the whole world, said NATO's not united. All those things, they add up. And so these leaders think this is my time to be provocative and to also play to my domestic audience that I'm the strong man.
They are undeniably connected. You know, we said on this show many times that elections have consequences. Policies and actions have consequences as well. And they're affecting not only Americans in negative and undeniable ways, but the perceptions of our allies and our adversaries. Those perceptions are so important, and they have consequences. And if they perceive America as weak or the president as being vacillated and uncertain, they will absolutely take advantage of that. And I think that's what we're seeing happen.
But, you know, I think it's also you look at it together, and they mentioned like the, you know, the situation with Russia and of course, with Ukraine, and then the situation with North Korea. But under the previous administration, this was not happening, Harry. These actions weren't happening. So, you know, who are you kidding? So they try to say, you know, this goes back a long time. Well, it does go back a long time. But 4 years ago, this wasn't happening.
I think that's correct. And essentially, again, it underscores a point that we've made again and again. Elections have consequences. Weakness has consequences. And strength has consequences. And so the world is responding to the flailing Biden administration. And again, I reemphasize a point I made earlier. The Biden administration keeps failing. It keeps falling down. And the world does not believe Biden will ever recover, will ever get up. And so why not take advantage of the situation? That's why the Russians are on the move. The Chinese are on the move. The Iranians are also planning their own moves.
Yeah, this is the headline in Daily Mail right now. Biden is tested on four fronts. So you don't think this is related? You're the Deputy National Security Advisor. Well, let me just read it out. Putin forces the president to ready 8,500 troops to protect Ukraine. North Korea launches fifth missile test. Iran-backed militia attacks U.S. base in UAE. And Beijing torments in South China Sea.
Okay.
You don't think that's related to your leadership, well, Mr. President?
Of course it's related to your leadership because it's a lack of leadership. But it's also, to echo what Wes said, policies have consequences. And, you know, this is not haphazard. That's the thing people need to know. It looks haphazard because the president's on national TV and he's saying, oh, yeah, well, if they invade a little bit, a little incursion, we could live with that. And, you know, NATO's not unified, so I don't know what we're going to actually do. But all of that has a consequence. And I think his sharpness with the reporters, which is what we started the broadcast out, is the frustration of the reality of what he has found himself dealing with.
Well, that's exactly right, Jay. You know, the Europeans, especially Putin, and Xi Jinping and the leaders in the Iranian leaders, they're not stupid. They watch the media here. They look at what the president says. They look at how he reacts. They hear the word minor incursion. They jump on that. They hear that NATO is not united. The president exposed himself by saying that. They see him lose his cool at a press conference and make and curse at a reporter. They see that. They look at him concerned about the Ukrainian border, and this is Harry Hutchinson talking, and not looking at his own border in the Southwest. I borrowed that from my colleague, Professor Hutchison. He's more concerned with the Ukrainian border than the U.S. border. So they're looking at these things, and they see a president in a state of meltdown, and they take advantage
Jordan,
of it.
Jordan, what are the political consequences? I mean, it's early before the midterms now, but this is a symphony of problems.
It's piling up. So it's piling up to where you can't see that these issues are resolved by the midterm elections. So if you're the Democrats, it's how bad are we going to lose? How many seats will we be down in the House? Not if we're going to lose the House. The Senate is starting to turn as well. It's not really, the question is not about Republicans taking the Senate. So when you've got this many international issues, on top of that, there's supposed to be an Olympics ongoing, you know, in China. While they're looking to, as we've talked about, they're looking at Taiwan, looking at the situation with the U.S. kind of taking this point. But take a listen, because this is still the Deputy National Security Advisor talking to CNN. We're going to be talking about some of the border numbers, which are, again, outrageous, that came in through the month of December. The people illegally crossing and the drugs coming in. But take a listen. This is John Finer continuing with CNN Byte 18.
Why should Americans care about what's happening in Ukraine?
Because it goes to a very fundamental principle of all nations, which is that our borders should be inviolate, that our sovereignty should be respected.
They will not secure our southern border. Right. This is the administration. John Finer, I'm sure, agrees with President Biden and Democrats that we should just let people flow through. So why should we care about Ukraine's border? We don't care about our own. I mean, that's the best.
It was
first
inviolate.
Of all, is that the best answer? That's the best answer you're going to tell the American people? That's why you should care about Ukraine, because they've got borders? I mean, to me, again, I go back to this. Putting U.S. I'm so angry about that, this idea, because you see time and time again from Democrats, the bloodshed begins on their watch so often in these haphazard approaches. I mean, yeah, like our producer Will said, should Ukraine build a wall? Would the Biden administration pay for that wall while tearing down the Trump administration's
right.
wall? I mean, this is why they are absurd in their entire policy approach.
Wes writes in his piece, it's President Biden's first year in office is a disaster by any unbiased measure. You write, those on the right continue to be highly critical of his executive orders, his policy proposals, and his demeanor. He's also under fire by disenchanted members of his own political party, those on the left saying he's not radical enough. I think that statement actually is part of his problem. That's why he doesn't know how to respond, because he doesn't know which base he's playing to, or if he has a base to play to.
I think you're absolutely right. The political pressure is on. It's brought on, though, by his ineptitude. He's trying to please the radical left. America is a center-right country. Always has been politically. And so what I think we're witnessing is that average, everyday Americans are having an extreme case of buyer's remorse concerning President Biden.
We got a lot more ahead on this broadcast. If you're watching on our social media platforms, we encourage you to share this with your friends. We've got a whole topic coming up on the border and some of the issues that we're doing at the ACLJ involving that, including some new FOIAs that are going out in our government accountability project.
And I want to take your calls. And what do you think about the fact that Biden administration's telling you should care about Ukraine? You put U.S. troops potentially in harm's way because we care so much about their borders. With our own southern border, seeing record numbers of illegal crossings, legal drugs. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
I mean, think about what Jordan just said, because it's a really great point. We're not caring about our own border with Mexico, but we're willing to send troops over to Europe to protect Ukraine's border because they have a border. That's what the Deputy National Security Advisor said. Your reaction to that, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. And I encourage you also to support the work of the ACLJ. You do that at aclj.org. Back with more, including your calls and comments on social media when we come back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.